Back in on the game, 537-1350, 866-776-1350 to join us. Brady's Super Bowl cover 5 is at 440, featuring a special guest appearance. We'll have a little funeral before the end of the hour as well. And at 540, the return of John in Vegas. You actually threw something out that I thought was a pretty good indicator of K-State basketball success. And this may qualify as getting down into the minutiae of the game a little bit, but I still think a bigger picture look at least this team. I think when you hit a point like a loss last night, it's like big picture, where's this program going time? But also, big picture for this team, what you can't have is one, two, two and a half guys not showing up out of that big six, and we clearly saw that last night.
Yeah, when you have a team that is 9 or 10 guys deep, you can survive a lot of games where you've got a couple guys that are just not on their game. But with K-State, I think that we've mentioned it various times through the course of the season. They're about six deep. Sometimes you can say it's six and a half or seven, depending on what Corby Irvin and Isaiah Maurice are able to give you. And there was some of that last night. But for the most part, it's six. And I think that for K-State, you can basically break it down this way, and it's very simple. If all six of those guys are on their game, K-State's a great team. I think that that's a sweet 16 caliber team when they're all playing well. Five out of six, pretty good team, NCAA tournament team. Four out of six is when you really start to have some problems. You're pretty average when you're at four out of six. And last night it was really like 3.5 out of six, and that's why you lose a game like that at home against TCU, because last night you had Kamau Stokes, who had 21-7-5, great game. You had Xavier Sneed, 19-5-3, great game.
I will throw out, by the way, though, too, he had seven turnovers.
He did have seven turnovers, yes. But if you go 21-7-5, that's all right. At least that's all right with me. Sneed, 19-5-3. DJ, 14-4, even though he was a non-factor in the second half. But Barry Brown, 7 points. He did have 5 steals, 2 assists, but not really much there. And then the big absentees were Dean Wade and Wesley Iwundu, who combined for 12 points on 4 of 13 shooting and 7 rebounds. When you've got those two guys that are not playing well, it's really hard to win games against decent teams, and TCU is decent, to say the least.
Yeah, and another thing to throw in on top of Barry Brown, if we're going to do 4 turnovers. I mean, he and Kamau combined for 11 turnovers. So that's really why I kind of say you really had like 3.5 out of the six there performing for you last night, and this team definitely cannot survive that. It's become clear just watching them play that, when they're functioning at a really high level, like when all those guys are pretty locked in, a la like the Kansas game comes to mind as maybe the best game that they've played this year. I realize West Virginia could be that too. But playing in Allen Fieldhouse the way that they did, that probably is, at its high end, a second weekend caliber NCAA tournament team. Obviously, the tournament comes down to a lot of breaks and matchups and all that. But I'm with you in saying that. But I also think you have to throw in the caveat that a big part of having a good team is that, you can have at your ceiling, at your peak, you are a blank caliber of team. Like last year, I think the team at their peak, Oklahoma game, was definitely a tournament team. But there wasn't much room for error. There was not much margin for error. So when you go play games 2 times a week, you're getting into February, late in the season here, guys are tired, guys are beat up. Sound familiar? Like this team right now. Can you withstand that and still be able to win the necessary games that you need to? I don't have my best every single day that I step behind a microphone. I mean, there are days that I get behind and really get behind a mic and feel like I'm just absolutely killing it. And there are days when I come in and dragging a little bit. I'm just like, I got to grind through this a little bit, and it's not going to be the greatest thing in the world. But even on those days when I'm not my best, I've got to perform at a level that's going to be good enough to do my job as a sports director here at Manhattan Broadcasting. And I think what we're seeing is that this team at their peak, pretty good, but they are really thin, and they are so reliant on such a small pool of guys that they're not built to withstand a whole lot of adversity as far as that is concerned. And that, to me, is what the issue is with this team right now.
I agree. And coming into the year, I didn't think that it was going to come down to a formula like this because, and I'll admit that I was wrong on some of these things, but I thought Dante Williams was going to be a pretty nice factor for this team. I expected a little bit more out of Isaiah Maurice. I thought that Brian Patrick was going to be a guy that saw some meaningful minutes. And this was, of course, before the news about Cartier Jarrow, who I thought could have contributed for this team. I was wrong about some of them, and on some of them it's been, you know, their own injuries or their own issues or whatever. But it's not a great recipe for any team to have five out of your six top guys playing well to be able to win on a night-in and night-out basis.
Look at Iowa State. Iowa State, I've always said, is very similar, except they have one player who's better than anybody K-State has, and that's Monte Morris. I mean, even with him, they're sitting here at 13-8 right now, and people are ready to run Steve Prohm out of town. Yeah. So they're in a very similar spot. You know, it's just hard to live and survive when you're built that way. As far as the next three go, because that's kind of the elephant in the room that we haven't even addressed here. You know, as bad as last night was and as tough to take as that was, part of the reason that it's as difficult as it is because of your next three games. You got three top 10 teams in like 10 days. Two of them are on the road. You go to Baylor. You come home Big Monday, Kansas here. You go to West Virginia. That is really daunting. And that is part of why you really needed this just to break up the losing skid, because you anticipate you're not going to go 3-0 the next three games. Break up some of that losing, get some confidence, some good vibes back, then go in and hope that you can pull off one of those three, and you still would have been totally fine on that track, on that path to the NCAA tournament. But now you've been knocked off. This is the toughest loss, I would say, to take of the season just because of who it is and where it was. Now how do you saddle back up to go play at the number three team in the country and then return home for the number two team in the country and then whatever West Virginia's at the number seven, number eight team in the country, you know, just 5 days after that.
Right. I mean, if you lose all three of these games, you're 4-8 in the conference, and if you figure you got to get to 9-9, to get in the tournament, you would have to finish 5-1 from that point over your last six. And I don't know if that would be possible for this team, where they would be at mentally. But the good news is, and we've talked about this, there's one thing that Bruce Weber has been able to do a pretty good job of. It's find a way to all of a sudden pull you back in as a fan by winning a game like one of these next three. And I do think that K-State, I'll say this, it's not going to be a game that K-State will be even a single-digit underdog. They'll be a double-digit underdog in Waco on Saturday. But it's a pretty good spot to catch Baylor, because they're coming off of that full heart and soul getting poured into that game at Allen Fieldhouse last night. How fired up are they going to be to play K-State at home on Saturday? I would anticipate not very much. And then, of course, the KU game, it's basically all bets are off, because K-State has seemed to find a way to play decent against KU over the last few years.
Yeah, you're right. No, I mean, Bruce Weber's beaten them twice here. You know, we've seen him do it. And it's not like he's done it with great teams, because the best team at home to Kansas and lost three times to Kansas. It's all come after that. You know, the next 2 years, he beats them at home. So, yeah, it's not out of the realm of possibility at all. And I actually look at it and say it would sort of fit the mold of what we know about Bruce Weber as a head coach. If you look closely at what happened, you know, the last handful of years that he was at Illinois, it was kind of like that. There would be some downward movement in general for the program, but he rose up and had 1 year where he got him back in the tournament, won a couple big games like that, but was still fairly inconsistent. And then eventually it dropped off to the point where he did get fired at Illinois. But this would be the type of one of these three would be the type of game that he would win to keep things going in the right direction here to get to the NCAA tournament based on really some past performances. And even the beating Kansas at home a couple of times like he did, you know, you can remember the one a couple years ago, the Marcus Foster year, when everything just blew up, Marcus Foster's sophomore campaign. I mean, it looked like that season was going down the tubes, and they still came back, beat Kansas, and kept things on life support, their tournament hopes anyways, for a point in time after that.
And if you do win one of these next three games, you would be two games under 500 in the Big 12 at that point, but your prognosis as far as the computers and bracketology would be pretty good. I mean, you'd definitely be in the tournament at that point if you go 1-2 over these next three, and it would just make it more realistic if you look at the rest of the run that you have to go. Instead of 5-1, if you have to go 4-2 over those last six games, because it is, they're six winnable games. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, it would basically, if you got one of those three, it probably cancels out TCU, and you're sort of back to, all right, bubble, probably right side of the bubble. Still no room for error to drop another TCU type of game, but you're at least kind of, you've corrected back. Yeah. Swerve out of the way, you've corrected back a little bit towards the center there. So that absolutely can happen. That is still out there. That's the flip side of the coin of playing three straight top 10 teams here. Is that if you do get one of them, it is a big chance to correct yourself for what happened last night against TCU. At 5:10, we've got more K-State basketball. Really, the biggest reason I think things went wrong last night and what's happening with this team right now. But coming up next, worlds collide in the Super Bowl Cover 5. I really probably should have said K-State basketball conversation continues somewhat in Cover 5 coming up next. It's not totally getting out of K-State basketball here this segment. You're listening to The Game.